Y'all can have a seat. Oh, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
How are you all?
Great.
Yeah? Good to see you. Y'all are looking good. Hey, couple quick things. Actually, quick reminders. Hello? Am I ringing? Am I? Okay. I'll step up here a little bit or step back here. I don't know where to step. I'll just step somewhere. But a couple of really quick things. I got just another reminder. Bring candy. We got a long way to go and a short time to get there. And so bring some candy. We're going to spoil our neighborhood like we do every Halloween. This is the place to be in Old Town on Halloween. And we will have 200-300 people from our neighborhood just come through here and experience God's love in very fun ways. Because you know what? I think that God's love can be experienced in fun ways. Have you ever had like a really fun time doing something? I had a fun on Friday night. I had fun Friday night. We had a board game night here. And I actually won a round of one of the games that we played. And it was fun. Yeah. And so sometimes I'll have fun and in my spirit I'm like, I feel like God really loves me. Like when I have fun, I feel like that is an expression of God's love. And so we want to express God's love to our neighborhood with a fun time on Halloween. So bring some candy, bring the good stuff, and we will give it away and it will be great. And then Alpha is happening every Wednesday night now at 6:30. So come and bring your appetite. We'll eat together. We'll talk together. It's just a really great time. And so Alpha's happening. And then that's it. That's all I'm going to remind you of. So in case you haven't met yet, I'm Lee. And I'm the lead pastor here at Mercy Vineyard. And let's put up our vision statement. This is what we're all about as a church. So if you're like, hey, what are we all about? And we need reminding. Why do we do this like every week? It's because vision leaks, doesn't it? Like, don't you forget sometimes like what the main thing is and what's important to you? And so sometimes as a church, I think that it's really easy if we forget what we're about, then we'll get all passionate about stupid stuff, right? And we'll be like, oh, you know, how come they don't have a quilting ministry there? Well, why would we? And, you know, or things like that. And so this is what we're all about, man. Let's say it together. We're living a passionate mission to love, grow, and go for the greater glory of God. We're loving each other. We're loving Jesus. We're growing in Jesus. And we're serving our community, and we're serving each other. And I think it's so exciting. One of the things that we do to serve our community is our camp for abused and neglected foster children. And Wendy said that we raised another $5,000 for that. That is awesome. And we love that program and all that stuff. So what we're doing this morning is we're wrapping up our GYST series. GYST stands for Get Your Stuff Together. I honestly thought Karen was going to slip this morning and say it. And I did. She's like, hey, we're wrapping up our GYST, our Get Your Stuff Together. And but we're wrapping that up. And what we're doing is we're going through Proverbs, because Proverbs is the ultimate guide to GYST. It really is. Like, I think Proverbs should be mandatory reading for every, like, 15-year-old. And then moving forward as a refresher every year. But we've been looking at Proverbs, how to succeed in gaining wisdom, how to manage our words well, working with diligence, working with excellence, we talked about. And hopefully this series has been really helpful to you, kind of working through some of the sticky points in life, the frustrations, you know, we've talked about how we get certain areas in our life, maybe in our relationships, maybe in our job, maybe different things where we like stick, where we're getting frustrated, and how to work through those frustrations. And today I want to look at what God's Word has to say about something that's particularly current and particularly American. And let's take a look at this video real quick.
Thank you.
So we're talking about overconsumption, man. You know, consumerism today. And did you catch some of those numbers? Like, first of all, it made me glad that we're really generous people, that, you know, we give a lot away. I thought it was really odd that we were second to Myanmar, which is like a horribly impoverished company, you know, country. Like, how are we second to, like, Myanmar? That was kind of strange. But 40% of the world's toys, 40% of the world's toys, holy cow. And that's just kids, children's toys. What about, like, grown-up toys? You know, stuff that, you know, we throw in our man cave or, you know, stuff like that. But 40% of the world's toys. And so, like, when I see that statistic of 40%, I'm like, what are we teaching our children about where we find happiness? You know, what are we teaching kids when at, like, Christmas time we overwhelm them with thousands of dollars of toys? What are we teaching them about love? You know, and is that how the only way to express love? And but we create more electronic waste than any other nation on earth. Man, what are we doing with our electronics? I remember back when we had a dumpster in the parking lot. Y'all remember the dumpster? I hated that thing. Absolutely hated that thing. Man, I'd go in there sometimes. One day I went in there, I found a refrigerator. You know, I found air conditioners, bunk beds. One day I came in and I found a giant, like, the old school big screen TV. Like, this wasn't like a sweet plasma. This was like the big old projection thing that, like, weighed 500 pounds. And I remember going, what am I supposed to do with this? Because the trash people will only collect what's in the dumpster. They won't take what's set next to it. And so, of course, I called Andy. And I'm like, who's strong enough to put this TV in there? Who can do it without breaking a sweat? Andy. So I call Andy. And so Andy comes over, and he puts it in. He's like, you know, and he puts it in there, and just like that. And he puts it in the dumpster. We close it. So then I call the guys, okay, guys, come and take our trash. So they came, and they went to take our trash, and they saw the big screen TV, and they're like, we can't take it because there's a big screen TV in there. I'm like, what? Andy, get back here. So, you know, we got to get the TV out of it, and then we got to set it on the, you know, whatever. It was just crazy. Like, we have so much stuff, so much electronic stuff. We have so much stuff that we're just leaving it places now, you know. It's insane. And so we create more electronic waste than any other nation on earth. Did you know that the average American throws away 65 pounds of clothing every year? We throw away 65 pounds of clothes. How much clothes are we buying? You have 65 pounds of clothes every year. We throw away $161 billion worth of food every year. That's just my house. And so, you know, like, tons of stuff. Our homes contain around 300,000 things. 300,000. When you consider that almost 40% of us are obese, according to statistics now, 40% of us, I'd say that we are a people that really like to consume. At least I do, all right? So, like, I had such a hard time with this sermon because normally whenever I preach, it doesn't pertain to me. It's you guys. I'm just kidding. So I had such a hard time with this one because it's me too. Just kidding. It's always me. It's the hardest part about preaching is, like, preaching to yourself. And so, like, I had just such a hard time with this because, like, I do too. I have a problem with consuming. I remember a couple of years ago, my parents came for New Year's, and we had a great time. So it was New Year's Eve, and because my birthday is New Year's Day, so it's like, hey, we're gonna come out for New Year's Eve. We're gonna stay for New Year's Day. We'll celebrate your birthday with you, and the boys will remember this. Like, it was like we're gonna make wings, right? We're gonna make pizza rolls. Because Wendy makes these pizza roll things that are just off the chain. We're going to have regular pizza, not just pizza rolls, huh? Yeah, Cheetos. Yeah, Cheetos. Of course, you guys remember the Cheetos. And so it's like just junk food. Like, we're going to make cookies. We're going to make brownies. Like, it was like this junk food buffet. And it just all looked so good. And I remember just seeing it all and, like, shamefully, I just went to town like a monkey on a cupcake. I mean, it was just like, I was like, you know, just like, don't come near my plate. And I'm just going nuts, right? And I'm just, eating, and like, finally I ended up literally in the fetal position on the bathroom floor for an hour and a half begging God to make me throw up. You know, God, please make me throw up. I want to die. You know, I was so sick. I was sitting up there. I'd eaten too much to the point where I'd like forced my body into some sort of weird like constipation. No, you're not getting rid of any of that. It's going to sit there and you're going to stew in it for hours. And I did. And it was horrible. And it was just, I just wanted to throw up so bad. And it's just, it's so easy to fall into this pattern of overconsumption. Because we live in this culture where just like everything looks so good, doesn't it? Have you ever gone to McDonald's? End of sentence. No, I'm just kidding. Have you ever gone to McDonald's and like you look at the menu and you see the picture of like the burger, right? And it's like juicy and steaming and all this stuff. And then they serve it to you and you unwrap it and it's like this little gray thing. You know, and it's a little like off-center. Even though it's off-center, it's still not enough meat to exceed the edge of the bun, you know. It's just, but the advertising and things just make everything look so good. Like when they advertise clothes, it's on a runway model, right? Like you never go to the store and see like a portly mannequin. I'm just saying, I think they should. I think they should have like average body mannequins, okay? But the mannequins are always like perfect and rail thin and all these things. And everything just looks so good. If you go to certain websites, has anybody here ever gone to Zappos.com to like buy shoes or something? Okay, so if you go to Zappos, it's funny because if you're looking at a shirt at Zappos, they'll actually give you the dimensions of the model wearing it. So it'll be like model weighs 160 pounds, they're 6'1", and they have a 30-inch waist. And you're going, who's that? You know, you talk about the 1%, you know, I mean, there they are. And so you get it home, and you're like, you're short and you're stocky, and you're looking in the mirror, and you're like, I don't look anything like the model at all. Of course, because the models have bodies where if you stick anything on them, it looks good, right? And so it's just really hard because they make it all look so good. They just made this thing like the Apple keynote thing, right? And Tim Cook stands up and he talks about all of the magical features of the latest iPhone, right? And they make it look like when you get this thing, just holding it in your hand, you feel better about your life, you know? And you they make it sound like it's going to make you feel a sense of wholeness. You know, and you might not admit that, and I might be the only one that would admit that, but yeah, they make it feel like this is the only thing you'll ever need or the last thing you'll ever want to buy. And of course, after you own it for a few months, there are other things that you want to buy, right? And the least healthy foods are cheap and they're fast, and we lie to ourselves about the impact that they'll have on our body, right? I don't eat this way all the time. It's not going to really have an impact on my body. You know, and it does. And before we know it, we're overweight, we're drowning in debt, we're swimming in junk that we wish we wouldn't have spent our money on. And we have a consumer problem. You know, I mean, consuming is, and it's not a new thing, you know, because I'll look at scripture here in just a second and show you. But how can we get our stuff together when it comes to consuming? How can we sort of rein this in? And, how can we eat? How can we spend? How can we consume in a way that's in line with the abundant life that God wants us to have, all right? Because here's the thing. I think in our American eyes, when we read John 10 and it says, I want to give you life and life abundantly, our American eyes go, God wants to give us stuff, right? I mean, I'm just saying, we read it, we think, oh, life abundantly means more stuff. And that couldn't be a more American bullcrap way of looking at Scripture or the words of Christ, all right? When he's talking about life abundantly, he's not talking about he wants you to drive a Rolls Royce. All right? And so how can we live in a way that's in line with the abundant life that Christ wants for us? We're going to talk about that, but hey, let's pray real quick, okay? God, we love you. We ask that you would let your word come alive in us. Let it be transforming to us. God, we want to see and hear your word and incorporate it in our lives, and we want it to be in a way that changes us. We don't want to just gain information this morning, God. We want to be changed by you. And God, just open it up to us in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so we're going to start off. We're going to look at Proverbs, and it's going to be Proverbs chapter 25, verses 16, and then 27 and 28. So there's going to be a little skip, so just so you know. All right, it says, do you like honey? Don't eat too much, or it will make you sick. Do you like wings and pizza and pizza rolls and Cheetos? You know, don't eat too much. It will make you sick, okay? It's not good to eat too much, honey. And it's not good to seek honors for yourself. A person without self-control is like a city with broken down walls. Okay? A person without self-control is like a city without broken down walls. Listen, if you remember one thing this morning, if you forget everything else, I want you to remember this. The key to overcoming overconsumption is learning to love less. Not learning to love less, but learning to love less. So we're going to put the emphasis on the word less. Okay? We've got to learn to love less. Proverbs 30 verse 8 says, "Give me neither poverty nor riches. Give me just enough to satisfy my needs." Now, we live in such a supersized culture, don't we? I mean, it's supersized. You want to supersize it? And it's the excess of living in a supersized culture is just ruining us. Okay? This supersized thing. Bigger houses, more stuff, 300,000 things in our homes. 300,000 things. I'm sure I have that in my home. I don't know if I could name them all, but 300,000 things in our homes. But having less, actually, if we understand that having less has enormous benefits. There are huge benefits to owning less, okay? So having less, it benefits us financially. So we're not always spending money on junk we don't need, right? You guys ever know the person that's always hurting financially, but they buy all the new DVDs of their favorite movies when they come out? You know, it's like the person that's hurting financially, but you know, they've got a 50-inch TV in their house. You know, a lot of times when I meet people who are really struggling, they're just really struggling financially, they're going through a real hard time, it seems like their life's falling apart, and I'll go to their house and there's just stuff everywhere. We don't even know where to put all this stuff. Maybe you're in so much trouble because you have so much stuff. Okay? Having less benefits us financially. Having less uncomplicates our life. It's complicated and it's difficult to keep up with all of our stuff and finding a place to put it and then having the garage sales every year to get rid of all the stuff that we bought, you know, and how do we insure it and how do we take care of it? And then we got stuff that we paid a lot of money for just sitting gathering dust in the corner or being kicked around, and now it's, you know, a dog's toy. And but having less uncomplicates our life. Did you know statistically people who have less stress? People who have less stress. Go to Uganda. Some of those people are starving, and they're some of the most joyful people you've ever met, right? Because in the American mindset, many Americans are lamenting over what they don't have. And if you go to other countries, and they're celebrating what they do have. And there's a huge difference. And we begin to celebrate what we have and are thankful for what we have instead of lamenting what we don't have. Well, I wish I had this and I wish I had that. And if I only had a nicer car and if I only had a nicer house, oh, if I only had the newer phone or the new whatever, you know. And so we lament and we wish and we spend our lives wishing. And then we get something and we're happy for like a couple of weeks. And then there's something else will come along that we didn't know that we had to have. And then we have to have it and we're unhappy because we don't have what we want, right? So, what does the New Testament says? You argue, you complain and argue because you don't get what you want. And so, we have to understand that having less brings contentment. Having less, people with less have less stress. And having less fosters gratitude and contentment. I remember when I was a kid, you know, my grandfather had like just a handful of shirts. You know, just a handful of things. And he would buy, if he bought something, like this is back in the day, and maybe your grandfather was like this too. If he had something, and he had that one thing, and it could be anything. It could be a book, it could be an object, it could be something. And what did your grandfather do when that thing wore out and broke? He fixed it, right? Yeah. I mean, what do we do now? Now when something wore out or broke, or, oh, I don't know, the button fell off my shirt, it's out of here. You know, God forbid we should sew a new button on it, you know. And so, like having less fosters gratitude, it fosters contentment, and having less frees up our resources to pursue more meaningful things, right? When you're not always taking care of your stuff and you're not about accumulating this or taking care of that or spending your money on those things, then you have the money and you have the time and you have the mental energy to pursue things that are more meaningful or things that you enjoy or something that you're passionate about, right? And so having less frees up our resources to pursue our passions. And most importantly, and this is the most important thing, having less or learning to love less stuff, it frees up our affections to love more people. Y'all kind of get that? When you're not so concerned with stuff, you've got the time and you've got the emotional energy and you have the thought energy and things like that to love people. And when we learn to love stuff less, we can love people better. So when I love stuff less, and instead of spending my time, you know, shopping on Amazon or wondering about getting this or wondering about getting that, I can close the computer, I can say forget about that stuff, and I can go spend some time with my kids, right? Or I'm not spending my money buying this and buying that, and hey, guess what? I've got money to give to our Haiti mission. To help Love for Lalaman, because, you know, I didn't upgrade my phone this year, or because I didn't, you know, and I did upgrade my phone this year, but I had my last one for 5 years, so don't judge, okay? But, you know, when we can free up our resources to love others and to help others, and that's just so important. Isn't that just a horrible feeling when you go, we're raising another 20,000 for Royal Family Kids Camp? I mean, these are kids that have been abused and neglected in some of the worst ways. I can contribute that. I would love to contribute to that, but I'm $10,000 in credit card debt. I can't afford to, right? And we won't tell ourselves we can't afford to because we bought too many clothes this year or because we, you know, bought a motorcycle that we didn't need or whatever. But it's true, right? And so it's so funny. All of us have the capacity to bless others. It's just that some of us have taken that capacity and we've used it to consume stuff instead of use it to bless others. Okay? And so it's so important that we learn to love less. And so the next thing is consume with humility, the scripture's saying, right? Okay, why do you think verse 27 says, it's not good to seek honor for yourself? Here it is. That passage, that verse is talking about consuming. Okay, so it's not good to seek honor for yourself is not a random proverb sort of attached there. It's talking about consuming, and it says it's not good to seek honor for yourself. Why do you think that is? It's because a lot of times we consume to seek honor for ourselves. In other words, we consume to impress others. To seek honor for ourselves, to impress others. And we learned how to do that when we were little kids, man. I remember in junior high. What happened in junior high when you show up for school in some sort of off-brand shoes? Do you guys remember that in junior high? Did you get those shoes at Kmart? Mm-hmm, you know, right? That's how it was in junior high. So even at a young age, we're taught to buy things to impress. I didn't know that wearing an off-brand shoe was something worth making fun of me for when I was... I learned that, you know, young. And they're like, oh, you bought those shoes at Kmart. I was like, but it was the good Kmart, not the one on John Deere, you know. And so, like, you know, so don't buy things to impress others. Consume with humility, all right? And we're afraid that people are going to think low of us if we're wearing some off-brand shoes or driving an old car or carrying around an Android phone. I wish Bill was here. You know, and so never make a buying decision based on the attention or status that you think it will bring you. Okay? That's the wrong reason to make a buying decision, status or things like that. And so, so be humble when you shop. When you eat, when you find yourself wanting more, okay, and be humble, and it will change the way that you consume. It will change the way that you shop, and I think it's important that we consume with humility. And the last thing is this, is be alert, right? Verse 28 says, a person without self-control is like a city with broken down walls. You guys remember a couple weeks ago, we talked about in Proverbs, we talked about laziness, and how the lazy man, how the walls of his vineyard were crumbling apart? And so, in a lot of ways, lacking self-control in the way that we consume is like laziness. It causes the walls to be broken down, all right? In other words, it leaves us open for bigger problems, all right? And so, we have to stop and think when we're in the mood to consume. Because sometimes we consume just because we're in the mood to, right? Anybody ever just shop or buy something because you're in the mood to buy something, right? Or shopped out of boredom? Okay, a couple people. In biblical times, a city with broken down walls meant that it was a city that was just wide open for calamity, wide open for attack. Have you ever bought something and regretted it? Totally, okay. Man, I wish I wouldn't have bought this. And then, like, we do, like, online shopping. And so now it's like I regret it, and I don't feel like back boxing it up and sending it back. You know, so we have stuff that kind of sits there. And so, like, we buy stuff and we regret it. Have you ever, like, looked at your credit card bill and went, why did I buy that, right? And you kind of spiral into depression because of your credit card bill. I hate that feeling. Okay, have you ever gone to the doctor and has the doctor ever said, hey, man, you need to lose some weight, right? You need to kind of get this together. What a horrible feeling, you know? It's like, oh, the doctor says I got to lose weight, got to lose 10 pounds, you know, or I got to lose 20 pounds or whatever. Have you ever had to spend days preparing for a garage sale? You know, and like you get garage sale day, you spend days preparing, you get in the garage all set up, and you put out the tables, and you do all that stuff, and when you're all done, you're like, oh, it was a lousy $200. I spent $10,000 for all that stuff, right? You had $200. We had a moving sale, I'll never forget, we had a moving sale once, and like, I was in tears. At the end of the moving sale, I was like, oh man, I spent so much for that stuff. Some of that stuff I've spent hundreds of dollars for, and I let it go for $5, you know, because somebody talked me down. And so, like, we have these regrets because we just have too much junk. And have you ever been frustrated because, remember, I mentioned this before, because you couldn't afford to be generous? Man, I wish I could help you out. I wish I could give you a few bucks, or I wish I could give to that cause. You know, that's frustration, and it's because overconsumption has made us vulnerable, right? Overconsumption is like a city without walls. It makes us vulnerable to bloat and to sickness in our bodies and sickness in our finances. We're sick with consumption in this country. We really are. And so Proverbs 27:12 says, a prudent person foresees danger and takes precaution. The simpleton goes blindly on and suffers the consequences. Right? Just like I did on New Year's Eve. Right? I'm stuffing my face till I got sick. I just went blindly on. Okay? So don't ignore those warning signs when they go off in your heart. Don't ignore it. Like when you're shopping or you're online or you're ordering off the menu and there's that little thing in your little voice in the back of your head that goes, listen to that, right? Or at the very least, listen to your wife, all right? At the very least, listen to your wife. Listen to your spouse when they're like, hey, take it easy. Hey, you know, we can't afford that. Hey, don't do that. Listen to your wife. Wendy comes from like a family where it's like they don't spend anything on anything. They don't even eat anything. They just sit at the table at night and they pull a hook with Robin Williams and they imagine the food there. It's incredible. And so like they're the least spending people I've ever met. But listen to them, okay? So real quick, what I want to do is I want to kind of wrap up by giving you a few tips for loving less and consuming in a way that lines up with God's best for you, okay? So the first thing is this. Consume purposefully. It's really important that we consume with purpose, that we don't consume blindly. We, you know, ask yourself, what does God desire for me? What are God's desires for me? That's so important. What are God's desires for me? Instead of shopping out of boredom, wait until you actually need something. Wait until you need something. Instead of eating for entertainment, eat for nutrition. So when you think about eating, eat for nutrition, not for entertainment. And it's so easy to eat for entertainment because what do we do when company comes over? Even if they're not coming over for dinner, we set out food, right? And that's okay. But sometimes we eat for entertainment. Hey, we're going to watch a movie. And so we go to the movie theater, right? And what do we like to do when we go to the movie theater? Let's get a ginormous tub of popcorn covered in about 5,000 calories of some sort of weird chemical butter, right? And so that's what we do because we eat for entertainment. And we eat out of boredom, not because it's for nutritional purposes, not because we're hungry. So learn to consume for nutrition. When we do that, we have fewer regrets about our choices, okay? Here's another good thing, just super practical. If you're like me, and I need to go through and do this, I do this every once in a while, but I need to do it again. unsubscribe from all those email deals. Right? It's like every time you buy from a website, what happens after that? Now you get emails sometimes every day. Get it? And the emails make it sound like you'd be a fool not to buy something today, right? It's like, for you, today only, 85% off, right? And they throw these deals at you day after day, and some of them are just like hard to resist, you know? It's like, well, I don't want to be a fool. I don't need another pair of pants, but I'd be a jerk if I didn't, you know, get 85% off, right? Shut up, Hudson, okay? So, unsubscribe from those. Second, practice simplicity. Practice simplicity, okay? Only buy stuff you really need instead of stuff you think is really cool. Because, you know, there's a lot of cool stuff out there, but we don't need it, right? We don't need it. Get rid of the stuff that you don't really love. Get rid of stuff. Go through your house and go through your closet. Just get rid of the stuff you don't really love. Wendy and I have started this thing now, and we do it when we shop. And we were shopping at Kohl's yesterday, and Kohl's has this thing called Kohl's Cash, right? You go, you buy something, they give you Kohl's Cash, and it's like you have to jump through 1,000 hoops to redeem it. The lady was like, "Do you have Kohl's Cash coming today?" And I was like, "Don't give it to me." Because every time I try to redeem it, there's some sort of hoop I'm not jumping through, right? I didn't use it between 2 and 3 p.m. on a Thursday, you know. It's really weird. I always miss it. But Wendy, somehow, she got the Kohl's Cash, and she was ready to go out and redeem it. And so, listen, just because you're getting a deal on something doesn't mean you should buy it, all right? And so we're going through the store, and we have a thing where we say, if it's not a heck yes, it's a heck no, okay? If it's not a heck yes, it's a heck no. And so my problem is I'll go in for a sale, and like I go into a store, and the first place I go is back to the rounders, right? Back to the rounders, back to the clearance stuff. That's where I go. And then I'll pay, you know, $10 or $5 for a shirt that I think is a good deal, but not $5 for a shirt that I think is a heck yeah, you know what I'm saying? And so, and then I end up with a shirt that I never wear, and then that's a waste, and that's something that I throw away, and that's money that I, you know, could have given to somebody, or I could have just saved or put whatever. And so, listen, if it's not a heck yes, and you don't have to use the word heck, you can use something a little softer if that's offensive to some of you, but you could say, if it's not a heck yes, then it's a heck no. Okay? So go through your stuff, because how much stuff do we keep in our house just in case? Right? Just in case. Like, how many pairs of pants am I going to keep for that one day when I might decide to arc weld something? Right? I might arc weld something someday. I'm going to need those reinforced knees on those pants, right? I might one day do that. Okay? I'm horrible with, like, just in cases. Just in cases. I don't know. I might get invited to a funeral to a comedian, and I'm gonna need that suit, right? The suit that has the comic strips on it. You know, something. But we do this whole thing where it's like, just in case, just in case, just in case. Look, if it's not a heck yes, then it's a heck no. Okay? And so just get rid of stuff. Practice simplicity. Get rid of the stuff you don't really love. Simplicity, what it does is it creates space in your life for more meaningful things. So when we get rid of the stuff, the consumerism stuff that is taking space in our life, it makes room for more meaningful things. It makes room for relationships. It makes room for ministry and blessing others. It gives us mental head space. Okay? Simplicity. The third is this, that's really helpful, is practice fasting. Okay? Practice fasting. Fasting food, it helps to detox our bodies, it helps to center our focus on Jesus, it resets our appetites. Have you ever, like, fasted sweets for, like, you know, we fasted sweets for Lent. Listen, we are dessert people, all right? We're Christians first, dessert people second, okay? Love Jesus, love cookies, all right? And so we would make dessert, like, every night. It started with one night a week. We called it BDN, big dessert night, okay? And one night a week we'd make cookies or brownies or sundaes or whatever. And then that turned into, well, we got some leftover dessert from last night. Let's have some. And then our appetites were always like drawn to sweets and drawn to desserts and drawn to those things. And so what we did last year for Lent is we just said we're fasting sweets. And then what happened when Lent was over? our appetite had changed. We weren't constantly craving sweets. So fasting helps you to align your appetites, all right? And so fasting from spending money helps to curb our constant wanting stuff, okay? And it helps us to focus on relationships, and it helps to put more money in our pockets so that we can be generous. Practice fasting, okay? And then fourth is get accountability. You know, get accountability has been a point in every message in this series, hasn't it? Get accountability. It's so important that we get accountability in our lives. And so if you don't have someone in your life that will speak the truth to you in love, listen, not everybody can come into my life and go, Lee, you shouldn't buy that. Lee, you shouldn't do that. But you know what? My accountability partner can. My accountability partner can come up to me and go, hey, Lee, you know what? I've seen you in a new pair of shoes every time I've seen you over the last month. What's going on in your life? I think you need to scale back. My accountability partner, literally, when we have lunch together every other week, has the freedom to actually criticize what I ordered off the menu. He just does, okay? And we have that ability to speak into each other's lives. It's so important to have accountability in your life, to have somebody in your life who can speak the truth in love and to help you get your stuff together, okay? Get someone before it's too late. Proverbs 27:17 says, as iron sharpens iron, so a friend sharpens a friend. Get somebody who can sharpen you, all right? And you know what? For some people, that can be their spouse, but that's not for everybody, because sometimes when your spouse tries to hold you accountable, you bristle, okay? I know probably some of you don't. Probably some of you have just perfect relationships with your spouses, and they can say anything to you, and you're just like, thank you, honey. Thank you. Thank you. But for the rest of us, that's not how it works, okay? When Wendy gives me that look when I'm ordering off the menu, I get a little bristly. Don't I, honey? Like, come on. Look at me. Look at all this, you know? And so I get a little bristly when she, you know, starts to hold me accountable in those ways. But my accountability partner can just say anything, okay? So get accountability in your life. And the last thing is this, practice generosity. Proverbs 28:27 says, whoever gives to the poor will lack nothing, but those who close their eyes to poverty will be cursed. Did you know that there's actually scientific research that says that when you do an act of generosity, that the level of dopamine, the level of dopamine in your, because when you get a gift, your brain produces dopamine and it feels good to give a gift. But when you actually give something, your brain produces more dopamine. And actually, the chemical response, the happiness response in your body is actually greater in giving than it is receiving. It is better to give than to receive, okay? So something really just supernatural happens when we extend generosity to others. And there really is a blessing that comes when we give. And we can feel it on the inside. And that feeling is so much greater than what we feel when we consume. And so what I want to do this morning, I just want you just to imagine with me, okay? Let's just imagine together, you know? Imagine your house being less cluttered, right? Imagine your house being less cluttered. Imagine not having a bunch of stuff that you need to get rid of. Imagine going to the doctor and the doctor going, wow, you're a perfect specimen. Imagine going to the doctor and the doctor going, hey, you might want to have bigger meals. You might need to eat a little bit more. Right? Imagine like stepping on the scale and feeling good about yourself. Right? Isn't that the worst feeling? Like I punish myself by stepping on the scale every morning. Does anybody here weigh themselves every day? Really? I'm like one of two. Okay. I'm weird. Okay, so but imagine like stepping on the scale and going, that feels good. You know? Imagine that. All right? Imagine a life of greater health, of less waste, of more money in your pocket and in your savings instead of debt, less debt, a life of more meaning. So when Jesus is saying a life abundantly, he's not talking about this life of more stuff. He's talking about a life of more meaning, of more significance, right? A life of more love and relationship and contribution, a life of leaving an impact, of making a difference. He's not talking about this sort of drive a Rolls Royce life abundance garbage. It's a life of meaning. And listen, we won't be able to walk in that life abundance, that life of more meaning, when all of the resources that we have that enable us to live a life of more meaning is being spent on more stuff, more consuming, more, you know, stuff. So Okay, a life of greater health, less waste. And so what I want to do this morning is I want to pray. But before I pray and close this up, I want to challenge you guys. Okay, we talk about fasting a couple times a year here. We fast as a church together, and we fast for 3 days. But I want to challenge some of you guys to fast today. Okay, for the next, let's do this, for the next 14 days. And it might be fasting from sweets. Okay, I'm not saying everybody here don't eat for 14 days, but I want you to fast from what it is that you have a tendency to overconsume. Okay, so for some of you guys, that might be fasting from shopping unnecessarily. And so for 14 days, just buying what you need to survive, okay, buy your groceries and things like that, but stay off of Amazon for 14 days, stay off of those things that draw you in and cause you to consume. Maybe you have a tendency to boredom shop or walk the mall or whatever and do things like that, and just fast from that for 14 days. Wherever your overconsumption point is, okay? So maybe if your overconsumption point is eating, is your meals, then, eat half. You can live off of half of what you're eating very easily, okay? So if your portions are, if you normally eat 4 slices of pizza, just eat 2, you know? Just eat enough to live. And so I just want to challenge you to fast for the next 14 days and just see what God does in your life and see how it impacts you, all right? And so, and some of you also need to just go through your house and get rid of some stuff. It's time to go through your house. I mean, come on, you know. And so find somebody to bless somebody with, or bring it down to the Salvation Army, or do something where you can take all that stuff that you never use and you don't need anyway, and you can go bless somebody else with it, all right? And so I want to give you that challenge, and hopefully over the next few weeks, if you wouldn't mind, hey, just put it on the Facebook wall. I know Wendy put something on the Facebook wall last week about how she was challenged about working hard and doing something that she'd been putting off for a while. And just go ahead, feel free to put it on the Facebook wall, what you're going to fast or what you're going to get rid of. Let's share those stories, because I believe that God can do something amazing in us and through us if we follow through with this, okay? So I'm going to pray, and Wendy, if your team wants to come up, and they're going to lead us in another song, but I'm going to go ahead and pray. Let's just close our eyes for a minute. And prayer team, if you want to head back behind the sound booth, you can too as well. And listen, if you need prayer for anything this morning, Kathy's back there and I'll be back there. We'd be happy to pray with you. Let me just do this. Let's just keep our eyes closed for just a minute. And I just want to ask, if you want me to pray for you this morning, maybe there's an area of consumption that you're like, yeah, I have a problem with that. Yeah, I have a problem buying stuff I don't need. Yeah, I have a problem, man. Food is my weakness, and I tend to overconsume in that area or whatever. There's a point of overconsumption in your life that you would just like me to pray for you. I'd be happy to pray for you this morning. And so, you know, just keep your eyes closed, but just kind of slip up your hand, and I want to pray for you and just kind of know who it is that God's bringing to my attention. And okay, is there anybody else? Yeah, that's a big one. My hand's up too. Okay, let's pray. God, we love you so much, and we thank you that you have laid out a better way for us. God, that your word, when we follow it, it brings that life abundantly. And Lord, I pray, God, that you would help us to consume purposefully, consume with humility, God. God, that we would keep the walls up, God, that as we do that, consume with discipline and purpose, Lord, it will protect us, it will protect our families, it will protect our health, it will protect our finances, God. God, I pray that you would help us to be people who focus more on meaning, God, than we ever have before, Lord. That we would engage in meaningful things, that we would preserve ourselves, Lord, for meaningful things, and preserve our resources for meaningful things. God, I pray for those who are struggling, Lord, in the area of just consuming in the way that they eat. Lord, I ask, God, that you would put in their hearts, God, the purpose of eating for nutrition and eating when they're hungry, God, when they begin to eat for reasons other than that, God, maybe for emotional reasons or for comfort or, you know, things like that, God, that your Holy Spirit would speak to them in those moments, that they would feel that check and they would follow you. God, we just love you so much. Set us free from just always wanting more. And God, let that spirit of contentment settle on us. Let that spirit of contentment just settle on us, God, that we would be involved in the essential things and not all the other peripheral things that just take the walls down around us. God, you're awesome. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, next week we're going to start a new series called Loving Your City to Life. And I'm super excited about that. And so, but I want you to be in prayer. I think the Holy Spirit wants to speak some really cool things to us about that, about loving our city to life, about loving our neighborhood. And we've got just a couple things in the works that we're working on. And so I just want you to be in prayer about how the Holy Spirit can speak to you in that area, okay? All right.